Good morning. We're here with the Garden Conversation, which is underwritten by Jewel Gardens in Skagway in loving memory of Charlotte Jewel and her vision for gardens as a community space for peace, inspiration, and education.
And we all have smiles on our face.
Because it's sunny.
I know. The gardens
Rebecca
are happy.
Rebecca and Mardell here to talk gardening.
The gardens are happy and the gardeners are happy.
Mm-hmm. We're all happy. Okay. It's a happy, happy place.
Yeah. Before we get into our happiness, I want to put the plug in again and make sure that people, if they are interested in fermentation, utilizing all that wonderful stuff you get out of your gardens, to hold the date, July 14th, for the Sander Katz workshop, fermenting workshop. And I also am going to add something that all of this information and the ability to register should be happening within about a week or so. We're going to start the registration. It'll be online, so you'll see notices and whatnot of that. But I also want you to be aware of on the 13th, which is a Friday, Rebecca that's going to be talking here in just a few moments, is going to be leading us in a foraging walk with an eye to fermentation. So we're going to go out on the beaches and we're going to be looking at what's available. And Sandor responded to me when I asked him about this. He says, yeah, maybe we could make some beverages out of what's out there. So we'll see.
It'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting to see. And that's what's fun about fermentation is that you kind of can throw in what's there,
right,
what's available.
And have some very interesting concoctions, I'm
that's
sure.
Right. And he's got lots of experience to share with that. That's
and
why he's coming. The foraging walk is going to be the 13th, and the workshop, the actual fermentation, where everybody's going to go home with a quart of sauerkraut, if you want it, that you're going to make yourself, and that's on the 14th, Saturday.
And this is in July.
In July, the middle
right,
of the
okay.
summer.
We're months out, but
yeah.
We're be prepared.
It's not that far.
I know,
scary, you know.
Soon.
Okay. So let's get on to talk about what is happening in the garden. What are you doing in your garden right now, Rebecca?
Well, I have all my cold weather tolerant crops are out. My garlic is up. All the potatoes are in, and some are coming up already. My peas are coming up. Mm-hmm. All those cold tolerant things are fine. I got spinach and beets in the ground. The brassicas are under remay. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically a brand name for row cover. It's that white poly spun fabric that keeps things frost protected and gives them a couple extra degrees of warmth.
The other day I was in the middle of my garden and I stood up, Des and I were working, and I stood up and I said, I would love to live in a place where I don't have to put remay on
Such
everything.
A pain in Oh, my gosh. It's always blowing off.
It's always blowing off. And you get everything planted, and then you're only half done because then you got to get your hoops up and everything.
But I do it for the onions. All my onions are in the ground, too, which are fine with frost. But they need that protection to keep the onion maggots off.
Right.
Because we have onion maggots and root maggots. So that's the other reason to use the row cover is to keep those little buggers off.
Right.
Because they will literally kill all of your plants. And I've had that happen.
Mm-hmm. And so you leave that on all season?
I leave, for the brassicas, I leave it on until July 4th, which is the magic Haynes date.
Okay.
And for the onions, I leave it on all year.
Really?
They like it warmer and drier. They just do a lot better, and my leeks really like it too. I had tiny leeks until I left it under the remay. They love the heat, and so does the regular onions that I plant.
I should try that. I've always taken it off of my onions around the same time as I take it off, which is usually early July. Now that that magic date is different for different people, and I have checked with Cooperative Extension, and they don't really know.
Okay,
I think that you're right. I kind of think in the beginning of July there is. We're pretty safe.
I've been safe,
But I had an experience last year that was very interesting. Some people out at our place planted things really late, and they planted turnips, which are a magnet to
root maggots.
And they planted turnips, like it was around the 25th of June, and those turnips had no root maggots.
Oh,
so that was evidence to me that the root maggot flies had already finished by that. Well, by the time they came up. So we're talking, that's probably
maybe
pretty similar.
June.
Yeah, late June, early July. So,
so
the remay, I mean, just to cover that again, because it is important for those of you who are not using it, it will change your garden here in this area because of the protect way. In a big way. The protection that it offers for wind is important, and it's also the hassle because you got to keep the stuff from blowing away. Cold, for sure, it raises it just a couple degrees, but a couple degrees makes
a big difference.
A big difference.
Yep.
And the heat as well. And although you do have to be careful that. Some people say, oh, I can use plastic. Well, the beauty of this Rime is it allows the wind or the air and the water to come through versus
and it
plastic.
Breathes.
And it breathes.
Yeah, you're not going to burn your plants or anything like that. Yeah. And your plants will be so much happier underneath it. And that's why we go to all the trouble. You'll notice a huge difference.
Yeah.
And can you get that locally?
Yeah, you can. You can get the small packets locally, which is much more expensive. If you're going to do large amounts, my recommendation is get together with your friends and neighbors and order large amounts and get a roll of it. Mm-hmm. And that's I have a big roll of it. And it makes it much more economical.
But can you use it year after year?
Yeah, I use it, but it lasts what? Two or three years before it gets holes in it, or the bear will come and rip it up. That's what happens at my place a lot.
Right. So one thing I found that really extends the life of it is to weigh it down with sandbags. And I do that. I no longer buy the sandbags that are at the hardware store. They're really cheap, and they disintegrate after like 2 years. So this is the nutty thing that I do. I get the lumber tarps that are in the trash pile. They're really a great quality tarp fabric.
They are.
They last for many years.
A lot of things.
And they're all getting thrown away. I cut them up into a bag-sized shape that's maybe 12 inches by 14 inches. And I sew up the sides with my sewing machine. And they make a bomber little sandbag. They work way better, and they last way longer. But the sandbags are what really hold the Rime down. And I have a pretty windy spot. And the rocks were continually getting flipped off.
They continually roll away.
And the smooth rocks get flipped off. And if there's any roughness to the rock at all, they put a hole in your Rime. Because the Rime is flapping in the breeze just a little bit all day long. So that flapping, and we've paid a lot of money for this Rime. And it's really annoying. We have to deal with this. But I actually do make sandbags, and that's what I did last night. I made a dozen sandbags.
And I'm gonna do that tonight. So just to clarify, also, I was visual, because I don't have the sandbags yet. I will after tonight. Is what Rebecca does is she makes it so that they're kind of like twist tied or tied with a cord up on top.
So that you can just
grab them from the top. So you don't have to lean down with two hands and pick them up, but rather you can just grab them from the top and move them.
And there's no seam as big as you want, so that could eliminate the weight or lighten the load a bit.
And there's no seam on the bottom, so the bottom is really strong. And you just sew up the sides. Anyway, moving right along.
I think it's a great idea.
I love your ideas, Rebecca.
The other thing. that I'm doing right now in my garden, Mardell, is I'm waiting. because there's some really cold temperatures forecasted. It's been last two nights, people have reported frost, depending on their locations.
Where they're at.
I did not have it, but it depends where you are.
We got 36 last
night. 36, right. So it's right in that danger zone still. And tonight is supposed to be another cold one. So I'm holding off, even though I really want to plant all these warm weather things in my tunnel right now. Don't do it. Mardell says don't do it. So I'm holding my bean plants. I have beans started. I'm holding all my squash, on my zucchini and my winter squash, and I'm holding my tomatoes inside still too. I'm just gonna wait. Hopefully this weekend we'll have some like 40 or above nights, and so it won't be so traumatic for them. Another thing is, although it's tempting to plant on sunny days, it's really kind of traumatic for plants to go out on these crazy hot days.
It's much better to plant if you have the choice. It's better to plant on a cool, cloudy day.
Right.
It's much, your plants like
it's
it a lot better.
It's just much less.
The gardener
stress
probably
for them.
Doesn't.
We like it sunny, but they want less stress for that stressful occasion of being transplanted. So that's mostly what I'm doing. Do you want to talk about your staggered planting you do?
I do, yeah. So that I don't have all of my lettuce come in at one time or all of my cilantro come in at one time, I do staggered planting. And so the crops that I do it on are cilantro, bok choy, a lot of my Asian greens, my mizuma, a lot of my Asian greens because they grow really fast, spinach, although I plant my spinach mostly in the very early spring and the fall. I don't do much spinach in the summer because we have too much light. And lettuce I do as well. And I used to do radishes, but now I don't do radish staggering anymore because I just let my radish go to seed and I eat my seed pods all summer. But those are things that you plant probably every 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
Is that what you
say? Every 2 weeks, yeah, probably.
Something like that. And then you will have a constant supply of fresh stuff instead of eking out, oh, I can make this last another week or so.
So leave some space, too, in your garden, thinking ahead, going, okay, in 2 weeks I'm going to want another round of fresher lettuce. So I leave some space in the garden for those second or third plantings.
And if you don't have, if you just are gardening on your deck or whatever, you can use those little trays for the lettuce. That's what I use.
And lettuce doesn't need very much root.
It doesn't need much root.
That's
And I stagger those plantings of lettuce.
Right. And another thing we like to do is interplanting. So I take a really early crop like spinach or radishes that's going to be done in 35 days, and I plant it with a longer-term thing. So I'm putting spinach in with my beets or spinach in with my garlic or
something that grows fast like radish or spinach or cilantro because then by the time your other bigger crop is mature, that original one or the shorter term one is gone.
Right. And so it's a much more efficient use of your space.
And then that's especially important for people who are planting like on decks and whatnot. If you've got limited space, think about how you can interplant and get the most use out of your space. That's an interesting question that some people really believe that you get a better production if you give plants a lot more space. I'm of the ilk that doesn't see a dramatic difference. I feel like I can get I crowd my plants quite a bit, but I'm the first to admit that I may not have the end all answer on that because there are some people who really firmly believe that if you give plants
more
bigger
space,
you get better production.
Right, especially if you're limited on water. I know.
Well, that's probably very
true.
Dry
farming. We don't really have much dry farming here, but
what's that?
I don't water my garlic or my potatoes or my brassicas very much at all. So I just make their roots go down, in which case, so I plant them a little farther apart so they have more space to gather water. But anyway,
and again, that depends upon your situation.
It does.
So
you want to talk about your magic tool?
I do. I want to talk about my magic tool that I don't know where I got it from, and I don't know the name of it, but I know who told me about it. Actually, it came as a result of this show. Leslie Evenden and I were working on talking about one of the shows that we did a while ago, and she said, oh, I've got this tool that I just love. And I thought, well, if Leslie likes it, I should too, probably. And so it has become my favorite tool. I call it a twirly thing, and we're going to twirl our garden. You know, I'd say to Diz, have you twirled that bed yet? And basically, it is a little thing that's got four prongs on the bottom, and it's about 6 to 8 inches
deep. So are the prongs in a square?
They're in a square.
Okay.
There's four prongs
in
a square.
So it's like a pitchfork, but there's four prongs, and then they're in a square.
And they're in a square, and they go directly down. And there's a handle on the top, and you just twist it. And so you stick it in the bed.
Upper body strength.
Exactly. And so it's different than shoveling, you know, where you have to lift it. But it does take, I mean, when you do 6 or 8 beds in one day, you get a little bit of
a
shoulder.
Workout,
that's right. But it really works well. Again, there's controversy over whether you should till your beds or whether you should not. My experience where I live, I need to loosen my beds because they get too compacted with the snow. And this tool works amazingly well. You can get it locally. I'm not sure which place you can get it, but it's available at one of those two places I got it.
It's aerating the soil, basically.
It's aerating and loosening it, getting some air
in
it, So I just wanted to mention that because this is the time of year that you are using it the
And it's
most.
The time to save your back, too.
Yeah, that's right, so. Because you got a whole summer that you got to make your back last.
Exactly. All right. So, well, thank you so much. If people have questions, what do they do with that?
They send an email to garden@khns.org.
All right. Thank you so much, Rebecca and Mardell.
Happy gardening, Jody.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. What a joy. So nice having people that actually know what they're doing, guiding all of us novices here in our garden escapades. Thank you.